Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Ladies and gentlemen, the outstanding Neil Coulon.
As always, it is great to be here. It feels like deja vu, though. This feels a lot like after week one last year.
Buffalo, special teams, this time five takeaways. It felt eerily the same.
It honestly, I mean, outside of the obvious differences, it was. I mean, it just they were 6.5-point road underdogs in both games. I know I didn't really give them much of a chance, and even at the end of the game, it's like, you know, to quote Apollo Creed, they won, but they didn't beat them. I mean, right. it was plus five in takeaways. Do you realize only like four teams in NFL history have ever won a game when they're negative five,
right,
that turnover differential? And Cincinnati could have won it at least twice.
Yeah.
If they have a long snapper, it goes to show you the value of a long snapper in the NFL. You could see, I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but the velocity of the ball from the long snapper to the holder,
it
was half speed.
They played Chariots of Fire as it was going back.
Yeah, it was like, wow, that's just noticeably slow. And you feel terrible for the guy because they don't keep two long snappers, okay? The backup long snapper doesn't rep on that during the week or anything.
Right.
It takes a lot to do that well. And you see what happens when it doesn't go that way. I know that Cincinnati, you know, vouched for their guy, didn't want to throw him under the bus, and said it would have been blocked anyway because, you know, the wing wasn't covered. That's absolutely not true. They had like a full second longer than normal to get in and block it because the snap was so slow.
Right.
And the second one obviously was bad. It shouldn't have kicked the ball. I mean, that's exactly why you kick on third down and not fourth.
Right.
You
know,
you eat that snap and throw it in the ground or something. Try to kick it again. You don't try to attempt that kick. But it just, you know, gaffes, coaching mistakes. And Cincinnati beat themselves in that game. But beyond that, the Steelers beat the stripes off their offense. I mean, defensively, that's one of the more dominant performances you'll see from any team in the NFL. I mean, they were really charged up. They were really ready to play. But the offense was on the other side of it. There's a lot to unpack in this game, Steve. There's just a lot. I've watched it three times.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Well, Neil, let's get to Trubisky. He goes all the way in this game. He ends up being, quote, the winning quarterback in the game. How well did he play?
Putting quotes around that is appropriate. I thought he was bad. I was not impressed with his performance. I thought the first 10 throws on script probably okay. You know, he didn't, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, urinate down his leg or anything. All right, this isn't bad. His second half was horrendous. I mean, he really played poorly. We can't look at everything in a results-based fashion, okay? So we can't just say, well, they won the game. It was good enough of an effort. Okay, well, then there's 53 guys that put up alleged winning football on Sunday. Was that the result that you really felt when you watched it?
Right.
That wasn't winning football at all. Trubisky, he was inaccurate all day, and a big, compelling piece of evidence to look at in that is the fact they had, on non-screen passes, they had little to no yards after the catch until overtime, in which case in overtime, he got what was essentially, it was a free play. It was probably a throw he would not have made if it wasn't a free play, the one to Freiermuth that he caught and was able to get upfield. A risky throw in a smart decision, considering it was a free play, but not one that you want him to make, all things being equal. And that's the one that kind of worked out. You might remember at one point they were in the red zone. He's flushed out to his right. He threw off his back heel across his body to the middle of the field for a jump ball situation with his 5'10 wide receiver. Absolutely no reason to ever make that throw. Unless the clock reads zero at the end of the game and you're losing.
Right.
I'm being probably kind when I say that gets intercepted 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Really, really dumb idea. the one he ran off to was right, and I don't know what he was doing. He was trying to out juke an NFL defensive back, and you know, at the sideline, almost got caught from behind. It defied the laws of physics that there wasn't a fumble on that play. I don't know how Trey Hendrickson did not get a piece of the ball coming from behind,
right.
But Trubisky just stood there, wasn't even aware that there was, you know, the potential of a guy coming from behind him. Complete lack of awareness. He took an own sack. Nobody remembers that either. He ran out of bounds 2 yards shy of the line of scrimmage early on in the game. He made a lot of very, very poor decisions in this game, and it was honestly, without being too dramatic, miraculous, in my opinion, that he didn't turn the ball over. That's not going to happen again. He has to play much better than he did, or it's going to be the Steelers turning the ball over 5 times. And I'm pretty sure if they do that, they're not winning the game because, well, you really don't do that throughout NFL history.
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen. And then there's TJ Watt. Yep, it's another season where he's making a lot of money. When he plays, he is just tremendous. And there are too many days he doesn't play. Out again.
To keep going with the parallels from the last game, you might remember he was out early in week 2 against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He went down fairly quickly into that game. I remember you and I talking about that.
Yep.
He's going to miss this one. He's going to miss 5 others after that. I believe that's the current plan. We'll see how that goes. But he's going to be out for a little while. Which is really too bad because he played a spectacular game.
Yeah.
Several players on the Steelers played spectacular games.
When he's available, he's great. The problem is the sentence start with when he's available.
Yep, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. I even probably went too far on my podcast and suggested that I don't think Watt's going to get through the year without some type of fairly significant injury. And the reason I say that is not anything to do with him. It's just going up against history, pass rushers that play as often as Watt does and are able to be utilized in a lot of different ways the way that the Steelers use Watt, after that many reps, that many snaps, when you're built like that, you're going to break eventually.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's you know, I think Watt dodged a bullet for the most part here. He's going to miss a pretty substantial amount of this season. But the Steelers will get him back, and that's great news for him. It's great news for the Steelers. But without him in there, oh boy, it's going to be tough. They don't have the offense to sustain much of a loss on defense. And now you're really looking at, you got to wrap up Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Alex Highsmith in bubble wrap. Those guys can't miss a down now. They're the depth that they built for this defense is probably in fear of that happening. Of what has happened that quickly into the season. I think they'll be okay in some areas, but Watt came up with big play after big play after big play. And with all due respect to Malik Reed, he wouldn't have been available for a conditional 7th round draft pick if he was able to do that. So they're at a significant loss. You can't scheme around that. You've got to distribute, if you're lucky, 80% of his production. And you might be able to get away with that, but it's going to hurt. And I think we're going to see it. He's just, there are times that Watt makes plays that other guys don't make. And without the defensive player of the year in the field, you're not going to be the same defense. I mean, you know, a huge round of applause to Terrell Austin. His first game as defensive coordinator of the Steelers was an absolute gem.
Yes.
They don't get a whole lot better than that. Considering the competition, considering, the fact the Steelers scored 16 points on 13 possessions, they had to stand on their head for 5 quarters. And I thought they availed themselves very well for what they needed to do. That hill is even higher now, and it's going to be tough. The prognosis isn't going to be good for them. If their defense isn't playing at that elite level, I don't see how they're going to win.
It's a pectoral muscle injury. I feel like in the last 10 years, after not hearing about this injury at all until about 10 years ago, it seems like it's the injury we hear about a lot lately. Does that have anything to do with how guys work out, how tight they are muscle-wise? I don't know. But what do you think? Because we hear more about this injury now, in the last 10 years than the previous 50 combined?
It's like this. I went chasing for a feature story on this topic fairly recently in the last couple years. A lot of it had to do with Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson is one of the most, as Mike Tomlin would say, twitchy and explosive athletes that we've ever seen in professional sports.
No doubt.
At his size, it's almost unbelievable what he is able to do physically. I mean, I saw that man go from one side of the key to out close enough to the three-point line to block a corner three, and not just block it, but throw it about 13 rows up in the stands. The level of power that somebody has to generate to get out that quickly and to get up that high to block a shot like that, it's unparalleled. You just don't see that. What's been the story of Zion Williamson's pro career? Injuries.
Yeah.
This guy literally ran through his own shoe in college.
Right.
And he blew out his knee doing it.
Yep.
That's going to continue to happen. The human body, your joints can be strengthened, but it's not your joints that are causing massively powerful contractions. They just have to hold it. Your joints are not usually that strong,
right,
to handle that level of force to a certain degree. When you get into the uber twitched up guys, which is TJ Watt, you're going to tear things. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not a question of his conditioning. He's obviously a very highly conditioned athlete, very strong athlete. I'm certain with the amount of money that he's making, he's not just coming up with his own weightlifting routine. They're building him for sustainability over time. But when you're that strong and you're that powerful, those kinds of things happen. And I think the athlete over the 10-year time period that you mentioned, I think that the modern athlete has so many advantages in terms of scientific research, technology, that go into workout routines, that they can become vastly superior. But I don't think that many of them are genetically built to handle the added torque that playing professional sports at that kind of a level is going to put on their bodies. So they break down eventually. You see this in every sport too. And it's not just the pec tear, although I agree with you, there is a lot of that. It would naturally happen in football. It would make sense, but it seems like it does happen a lot more often. It's not because they didn't stretch out. It's just because guys like Watt in particular are so big and they are so muscular. They need that to be able to do what they do on the field, but eventually it's going to be Tram. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's not the last injury that he has.
Yeah.
Something of a tendon related tear or something like that. Now, to be clear, it turns out he did not tear the tendon off the bone.
That's
which
right.
Is the variety of injury that would require surgery.
That's right.
But he did tear it up pretty badly. It's something that's going to keep him out for a little while. And it's also not something that you want to rush back. He's got to use that. He's got to have that flexibility. He's got to have that strength in order to play, really, to protect himself out there. So 6 weeks, you hope that's enough recovery time. I trust that they're going to do the right thing with it. But you got a lot of money invested in that guy. And re-damaging that now could put him out through training camp next year. So they've got to be careful with how they approach it and how they want him to recover and how quickly they want him back. Clearly, he wants to get back out there.
Yeah,
I don't fault him for saying that at all.
That's right.
As we know, his brother had the same injury in 2019. He came back after like 2.5 months, and he did have surgery. It's not necessarily I don't think you want to ever look at J.J. Watt as being the typical anything,
Right.
So we'll see what happens with T.J., and certainly for the Steelers' sake, they need him back out there, but long-term, they really can't push him that quickly.
Finally, how do you view the matchup with the Patriots, Neil?
I haven't had a great chance to look at the Patriots to this point, just because I'm still shocked over how the Steelers game Sunday
That's
turned out.
That's true.
But they're not going to be the same team from what we saw. They've got an injured quarterback. I don't know how good they are. I know this. Bill Belichick knows how if anything, to beat fairly one-dimensional offensive teams. So Steelers, I think I saw, were one-point home favorites in their home opener. Not many times they've been favored by that little in their home opener. This is going to be a really tough one for them, though. I'm not sure how I feel about it at this point, but you put a backup quarterback in there, even without T.J. Watt, I think this defense has enough to really shut them down. I would think just on paper – it'll be a pretty low-scoring game, but, you know, one of the biggest rules of predicting football games is that the biggest variability between teams happens between week one and week two. So we'll see which versions of either of these teams show up. I don't think either one of them were particularly pleased with large chunks of their team in their week one games.
My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.